In the spirit of reconciliation, Myeloma Australia acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to the elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today. Welcome to My Conversations, Myeloma Australia's podcast series. These podcasts are written and produced by our myeloma support nurses for people living with myeloma, their family and friends. We aim to deliver interesting and up-to-date information on myeloma in a portable and convenient way through our podcast shows.
Welcome everyone to this episode of My Conversations, a Myeloma Australia podcast. My name is Hayley Beer and I'm Manager of Programs and Services at Myeloma Australia, and I'm pleased to be your host today. This episode we're coming to you live from Sydney, where we're attending the National Haematology Conference Blood, and we have the pleasure of welcoming two international experts on myeloma in Dr. Tom Martin and Professor Simon Harrison. Dr. Martin is a leading expert in haematology oncology and Associate Director of the University of Connecticut San Francisco's Myeloma Program and Director of the Unrelated Donor Transplantation Programs for Australia at UCSF Medical Centre. Dr. Martin's also the Clinical Research Director of the Haematologic Malignancies at the UCSF Helen Diller Family Comprehensive Cancer Centre, and his research interests include developing treatments for myeloma and leukemia, including the use of bone marrow transplants and CAR T-cell therapies. Today's podcast, we also have the pleasure of Professor Simon Harrison joining us, who is a director of the Centre of Excellence for Cell Therapies at the Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre. He's also the chair of Myeloma Australia's Medical and Scientific Advisory Group and consultant haematologist at the Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre. And today, this podcast focuses on the patient experience of CAR T-cell treatment, which is something that we are excited to be able to have available in Australia. And we are keen to hear from Dr. Martin and Simon, Professor Harrison's experience using CAR T-cell therapy so far. So welcome, Simon and Tom.
Thanks, Hayley.
Thanks, Hayley. Nice to be here.
Thank you. So with improvements to accessibility of CAR T-cell therapy in Australia, we're very excited to speak to you both about your experiences so far with delivering CAR T-cell therapy both in the US and in Australia. So Simon, just to set the scene, can you please give us an overview of what is CAR T-cell therapy?
Sure. So CAR T, you need to think about it as a living drug. And the way in which we make this is we make it for each individual patient. We collect T cells rather than stem cells, but using apheresis in the similar way that we do for a transplant. And then we freeze those cells and send them to a manufacturing site. And then they're genetically modified by inserting a receptor that can recognize a molecule on the surface of the myeloma cell. In most cases, this is BCMA. And then that can turn on the T cell and tell it what to kill. The cells are then expanded up to a certain number, frozen again and shipped back to the treatment site, and then they're reinfused after some pre-treatment therapy, usually fludarabine and cyclophosphamide at a lowish dose. And then the cells expand, recognize the myeloma and kill the myeloma cells and then persist for a short period of time.
And both of you have had a lot of experience with the CARTITUDE studies, which have been investigating CAR T-cell therapy. Tom, we just had a great session from you at the conference about some of the results from the CARTITUDE 1 trial. Are you able to give us an overview of what those results are and how promising the therapy looks for myeloma?
Sure, absolutely. The CARTITUDE 1 study was an initial phase 1b and phase 2 study to assess the dose that's the best dose for patients, and then to assess the effects after giving that best dose. What are the response rates and what are the side effects? And so in the study, 97 patients were treated with these super T cells, these T cells that really can fight off multiple myeloma. And when patients received this, there was a dramatic increase in those numbers of T cells in the body, and then a really impressive response rate. 98% of the patients who received these T cells actually achieved a remission, at least a partial remission or better. And one of the best remissions in multiple myeloma is called a stringent complete remission. In fact, 83% of the patients achieved this stringent complete remission. So these T cells were very active, and they were very potent at killing off the multiple myeloma. In addition, the patients that were involved in the study were heavily pretreated patients. They had really exhausted all the available therapies for myeloma. They had been treated with prior proteasome inhibitors like Velcade or carfilzomib and immunomodulatory drugs like lenalidomide and pomalidomide, and also CD38s like daratumumab. They had had all those drugs and unfortunately progressed after them and had not many options. Despite that, we had this really, good response rate. And in fact, the progression-free survival, mean the time in remission, at 27.7 months, 55% of the patients were still in remission. So the remission duration looks like it's going to be 2.5 years or more on average. It's really impressive results for this refractory population of patients. It also was quite safe. We know the toxicities of CAR T cells. CAR T cells are your immune system really generating a response against, instead of an infection or something else in your body, but against myeloma. So people have side effects, just like you would have side effects to an infection. They have fevers, they have chills. Sometimes the blood pressure can go up or down. Sometimes there can be a slight need for oxygen. This is all called cytokine release syndrome, or CRS. It typically occurs a week after you get this infusion. And we have actually very good tools to mitigate these side effects. We have steroids like dexamethasone that can help. We often give people a Tylenol or acetaminophen. And we also have another drug called tocilizumab, a drug that really can turn down the immune response and can take away some of these side effects. So it's a very manageable side effect. And in fact, it's one of the main side effects after CAR T cell therapy. So patients were easily treated with CRS. For CRS, they also developed cytopenias, which we can treat with, some patients require transfusion therapy. Some patients get transfusions or cytokine-based therapy afterwards. But these are all manageable side effects. So patients have done extremely well after this study.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting to hear the results and how that, even though there are some challenges, like any therapies, there are side effects, but there are game plans for those. And you've, in some ways, in the US, you've experienced these things, and we get to benefit from your experience by going straight into that game plan. So, Simon, just to put a bit more context around what to expect. So, if your doctor recommends CAR T cell therapy for you, Tom just mentioned there's possibly some side effects a week later. What is the pre-treatment time frame in hospital and post before you to go in and out of hospital? What's the expectation?
So the first thing we need to do, as I said earlier, is to collect the T cells. So that needs to be at least a month to 2 months prior to delivering the therapy back to the patient. And then after that, you need to keep the disease under control during that manufacturing period of time using whatever tools are available at the time for that specific patient. And then in the lead up to the CAR T cell infusion, you have to make some room for the cells to go into, and therefore you give some lymphodepleting chemotherapy, which is traditionally fludarabine and cyclophosphamide, but at modest doses. And so patients then become a little bit cytopenic, have lowish blood counts, but not to the same magnitude as with a stem cell transplant. And then the cells are infused about 3 or 4 days after the start of the lymphodepleting chemo, which usually goes for 3 days. And then not much happens in the first little while, because it takes a while for the T cells to wake up. And depending on how much disease is around, depends on what the risk of having the side effects is. And so in patients with good disease control, with low levels of disease going in, you can usually afford to treat them as an outpatient. Whereas if people are going in with uncontrolled or heavy marrow burden of disease or other factors, then they may need to be admitted straight away. And then the cytopenias can last a variable duration, sometimes up to a month or beyond. And at that point, you might be thinking about things you can reverse that by giving stem cells or other or other cytokine-based therapies. But during the acute phase, you need to watch out for the cytokine release syndrome, neurotoxicity, having a bit, being a bit foggy or not being able to write properly for a period of time. And those are the patients that with the very first fever, if you're an outpatient, you could become an inpatient, and then you watch them very carefully and add cytokine, anti-cytokine therapy like tocilizumab or steroids to really damp down those reactions. And the small number of patients may need intensive care support over that acute period of time, but that's relatively low. And in our experience in our center, that's less than 5% of patients need that level of support. So in terms of intensity, it's a bit different to a stem cell transplant where you're getting a huge dose of chemotherapy and then you have to ride out the side effects while you repair the damage. In this, it's a much more targeted approach, and the toxicities associated with the therapy are really a sign that the T cells are growing in the body, and therefore you need to damp down their enthusiasm a little bit.
Fabulous. And I think we've become accustomed now to treatments for myeloma being continuous and patients having to be on some degree of therapy until their next relapse and they need a different therapy. I think one of the more exciting things about CAR T-cell coming through is that it is in some regards a one-and-done type approach, and patients do get to enjoy some time off treatment. What can you say about the experience in the US with that period once the CAR T-cell therapies infused and people are then able to go back to life?
Yeah, so I would say one of the major advances is that it is a one and done procedure at the current time. That doesn't mean down the road it's going to stay one and done. For the current time, you get the CAR T cell therapy and then there's no maintenance afterwards, and there's no other therapies that are designed to be administered after CAR T. It is meant to be off of therapy. You get such a deep and durable response that you can maintain being off therapy. I've said this a lot, there's no better visit with a patient than when they're 12 months or 18 months or 24 months after CAR T-cell therapy and they're still in remission and they've been off therapy that whole time. Their quality of life is actually quite good, and I've had many patients tell me that their quality of life hasn't been that good since before they were diagnosed with multiple myeloma. And patients have, you know, in general, been used to being on continuous therapy. So some of these patients had previously been on therapy 5 or 6 or 7 years continuously and now off for 2 years or more. So it's really quite nice. Simon made a very good point that it is very different than an autologous transplant. And I've routinely asked my patients after they finished the therapy, I said, so what was harder, your autologous transplant, because many of them had an autologous transplant in the past, or the CAR T-cell therapy? And honestly, hands down, they say, oh, the autologous transplant was way harder than the CAR T-cell therapy. And there's different eligibilities for those therapies. Some patients who may not be eligible for a CAR T-cell therapy due to age or other comorbidities may in fact be eligible for a CAR T-cell therapy. So I think it's important that every patient who's had 3 or 4 lines of therapy be evaluated by a myeloma specialist in CAR T-cell therapy to see if they're actually a candidate for that therapy.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's really inspiring to hear that these people that you've seen that have had so many different lines of treatment before CAR T-cell therapy can still achieve a quality of life comparable to before diagnosis. That's phenomenal. It's really exciting for our patients in Australia to look forward to. We're going to take a short break now. We'll be back shortly. Myeloma is a team sport, and it's easier with a team around you. The team consists of you, your family and friends, carer, health professionals, and Myeloma Australia. To join my team at Myeloma Australia, subscribe to our database at www.myeloma.org.au or call 1800 693 566. Welcome back to My Conversations. I'm Hayley Beer, and I'm with Professor Tom Martin and Professor Simon Harrison discussing their experiences of CAR T-cell therapy. We've heard, we're very well aware that myeloma is not a curable disease, but with the advent of new therapies like CAR T-cell therapy, we've heard the term possible cure starting to be thrown around a little bit more. Can you comment on what your thoughts are on the path towards a cure? Are we getting there? What would you say to that?
I think the big question, honestly, is the definition of cure. And we really bounce back and forth of what that true definition is. Some of us think at the current time, being MRD, minimal residual disease negative, for 5 years is akin to being cured, that, you know, that they're going to have a very long remission duration. Others say it's, you know, passing from something else other than myeloma without evidence of myeloma. And then others say, no, we got to wait 10 years or 15 years to say that it hasn't come back. So it really is dependent on the definition. But I will say that I do think that even in the relapse refractory setting right now, I have a handful of patients that are more than 4 years out from their CAR T-cell therapy, have not had any other therapy, and we cannot detect any myeloma. I think those patients are going to be quote-unquote cured. I think they're going to make it 5 or 10 years without evidence of relapse. So in the relapse refractory setting, I think there's going to be a small percentage of patients, maybe it's 10, maybe it's 15, hopefully it's more, that are in fact cured. But as we bring these therapies into the earlier line setting where patients don't have as refractory or resistant disease, I think our target should be higher. Hopefully we can cure 30% of patients or maybe 50% of patients. And I do think we're going to get to the point where we're not just doing a CAR T-cell, but we're doing a CAR T-cell and then something addition afterwards to try to enhance the ability to cure patients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Simon, what are your thoughts on where we're at?
I think the most exciting thing is that if we look at, can we change the trajectory of patients with poor risk disease, which is the thing that kind of keeps Tom and I up at night, working out how to stop patients cycling through therapies every 6 months from diagnosis. If you look at the CARTITUDE 2 study, they showed that in patients who'd done poorly with their first-line therapy, they gave them CAR T-cell therapy a year after diagnosis because that's when they relapsed. And already the majority of those patients have been in second remission longer than their first remission. And I think that to see that change in destiny, that these are patients who should be doing poorly, who are not, I think is the one of the early signs that this is going to revolutionize the myeloma treatment landscape. And in combination with other technologies that are coming on behind in terms of bispecifics and other ways in which we can use these things together, I think that I agree with Tom. We probably will cure a small fraction of patients in this late line of therapy, but as it comes earlier and earlier, we should be aiming to cure more and working out what are the patterns of relapse and what do we need to do to kind of make these therapies more effective in the long term.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And yeah, as you know, we're well aware that we can't put all our eggs in the CAR T-cell basket. We need to have other things up our sleeve. And there is a lot more happening. You just mentioned bispecific, Simon. Do you want to comment on what else you see as a promising new therapy coming through?
Yeah, so I think that if we think about targets rather than therapies, because I think the immune system is a really powerful tool which will base our future therapies on more and more. I think that looking at alternatives to BCMA, and there are a list of them now, so GPRC5D, FCHR5, and then a whole bunch of other old favorites like CD38 and SLAMF7 are being looked at as in ways in which we can repurpose the immune system to target against one or multiple antigens at the same time. And I think that we need to work out what the best strategies are to combine CAR-based therapy with bispecific antibodies to get the maximum duration of immunological control of the myeloma. And I think that it's not going to be exclusive. One is not better than the other, I don't think. One modality will suit patients better than another in certain circumstances. But I think having the ability to put together a treatment plan for a patient that will try and get everybody into deep responses is the first step along the way to making myeloma a disease in which you can have long-lasting remissions from.
Mm-hmm. And Tom, what are your thoughts on that line of thinking?
Yeah, I think that we're in a new era, the era of immunotherapy, which is really great. And we're targeting the cell surface of the myeloma cell and not really paying so much attention to the inside, which a lot of our drugs in the past have really been targeting the inside mechanics of the cell to try to kill it from the inside. We're coming at using the immune system at the outside. And all patients have these targets on their myeloma cells, which is great. The pattern that we use, whether we target, you know, antigen A or antigen B or antigen C, and what order that we do it is what we're going to figure out over the next 5 to 10 years. It's really going to be fun to do this because we think we're going to be able to offer patients much deeper remissions, hopefully some cures, and hopefully some time off therapy. But certainly the immune therapy targeting the cell surface is way better than what we were doing in the past.
Mm, yeah. No, it's exciting, and it is also making me think about how, particularly in Australia, with our the reimbursement system that we have, and that we are in some ways restricted in when we use therapies, but also in other ways we have lots of choice, which there's a lot more choice than there used to be, which is excellent, but it also makes that treatment decision-making process confusing. So maybe, Simon, do you want to maybe give your tips or tricks on what the community can do to help make that decision of the next treatment? You know, obviously that happens with their doctor, but what are some things that they can be doing to help themselves make decisions for their next treatment option?
Treatment in myeloma is a marathon. Mm-hmm. And I think that staying as fit and healthy as possible outside of myeloma is one of the real keys to success of further therapy. And managing other problems like infections and bone disease and et cetera and renal problems to be effective so that you remain eligible for effective therapies in the long term. So I think those are the one of the key messages is to not ignore the basics. And then I think the other thing is using the effective tools that you have available at the first opportunity. So, for example, Andrew Spencer was talking about daratumumab today in the same session that we spoke about and using it in first relapse. Now, the medical community was a bit up in arms when that decision came down that you can only use it in first relapse. Turns out it was a great decision. Mm-hmm. And so I think that not holding back and using, keeping things up your sleeve for a rainy day, so using the most effective tool as early as possible is the second kind of strategy I would put in place. And then the third thing is don't preempt the decision about what's the best therapy for you as an individual. So it may be you have a choice between CAR T-cell and a bispecific antibody in the future. And one may suit one person and one may suit another person for various different reasons. And so I think don't go in with preset ideas about what's best for you. Understand what the conversation's about, understand the technology and why it's different and what it means if you get one versus the other. But it may be that your disease is very proliferative. You're not going to stay under control for the manufacturing period, and therefore a bispecific antibody is a much better off-the-shelf option with a very high response rate associated with it, with a pattern of toxicity that's more controllable than a CAR T-cell therapy. So there's complex decisions around what's suitable for each individual patient at each time point. And then I think talking to your doctor and having a good conversation about what are the choices, what do they think is the best option, and then getting onto it as quickly as possible, I think are the kind of messages I would say.
Mm-hmm. And I would add, actually, from being a blood 2022, here in Australia and also in New Zealand, you have some preeminent myeloma and plasma cell disorder doctors. And so what I often tell patients in the U.S., seek out an opinion from one of those preeminent doctors. These physicians that you have access to know the myeloma space, know the field. Just like Simon just said, ask for their opinion and follow their opinion. They know what's best for you, and together you can decide what's the best course for your next therapy. Most patients can certainly get their best therapy here in Australia or in New Zealand. And, you know, the therapies hopefully will continue to become available as they are approved, you know, in other places in Europe and in the US, they come available here.
Fabulous. And I'd just like to also remind everybody that Myeloma Australia has a telephone support line, which is 1-800-MYELOMA, which is available Monday to Friday. And it is manned by senior myeloma nurses who understand a lot about the treatment pathway. And while we don't give you advice on which treatment to have, we can help you work through some of those treatment decisions and help you formulate some questions to go back to your doctor with. So I'd like to thank you both for your time. It's been a wonderful conversation. And, you know, thank you for giving us this time. I know you're very busy, both of you in your clinical and you're, you know, travelling back to the US very soon, but we're, the Myeloma Australia community are very appreciative of your expertise today. And I'd also like to give a big thank you to Laura Jones and Megan McDowell, who are part of our Myeloma Australia team, who have written the questions for today's podcast. And a big thank you to Darren and CVP for flying all the way to Sydney to record this show with us. If there's a topic that you'd like to discuss, please email us at nurses@myeloma.org.au, and we'll see you next time on My Conversations.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Conversations. We'd love to hear from you, so send us your questions or topic ideas to our email address, nurses@myeloma.org.au. Whilst the advice and opinions of our guests is welcomed, this podcast provides general information and is not intended to replace medical care or the advice of your treating team. Please talk to your doctor if you have any questions about your diagnosis or treatment. Your doctor can answer your questions, talk with you about your treatment goals, and provide you with extra support.